Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What are you doing, Wagner?
Indeed. That's what we're doing. What are you doing, Wagner? Well, we kind of color outside the lines, look around the world, not just the sports world. But remember, Mark, way back when we started this show at 11 o'clock and we started talking about John Lester and buying John's tab is the weekend phrase. You buy a Miller Lite at basically four places at Russian Division. That's where John's living out sexual perversity in Chicago. He's doing About Last Night at Russian Division. Hopsmith, Chicago, The Lodge, Butch McGuire's Shenanigans. He'll buy your first Miller Lite. And he did that yesterday. He just tweeted out, the tweet says, great start yesterday, 695 Miller Lites served so far. Appreciate you all coming out. Let's keep it going. So he ran four tabs, printouts of four tabs. And the amount of, say it was $22.80 at Shenanigans for the number of Miller Lights bought. So I love what he's doing. What number did he wear, Mark? What number did John Lester wear that the Cubs might retire? Who knows? What number?
Oh, my God. I'm having a block. My brain.
I know. I always do that. He wore number 34.
He did. Yes, he did.
That's what he's tipping. That's perfect. The percentage he's tipping. So, on this 2280 tab at Shenanigans, he's tipping $775. And he's doing that at all those places. He's tipping 34%. That's great. So he's getting whatever Miller Lite's doing, Miller Lite's getting their money's worth out of this kind of stunt. And he's, and if you can get into any of the bars, Shenanigans, The Lodge, Butch McGuire's, or Hopsmith Tavern, John and Lester will buy you a beer. If you buy you your first Miller Lite, if the city and the state let you in. So anyways, that's
fantastic.
That. I want to update that. Yeah.
I need to address a quick text here during this.
Okay.
What are you doing, Wagner? Because it just got me thinking here.
Oh.
I know. Right at the top of the text line, if you'd like to follow along on your side, Steve, from the 260. This person says, the same way I was happy for Sale when he escaped the Sox dysfunction, I will be happy for Han when he flees to the Northsiders or wherever. And then I thought, Theo Epstein's not long for the Cubs job, is he? He might be gone after a year. Wow, what a move that would be. I mean, and Rick Hahn would probably be the type of guy the Cubs would want, right? So,
well,
That's a great tweet or text.
If Jed Hoyer ascends to Theo's job, then Jed's job will be open. And Rick certainly has experience as GM and now is titular GM. So he's certainly well suited for that. And that's where we are. So we lost a legend. James Bond died. I did not think James Bond was allowed to die.
Right.
Sean Connery passed away. He was 90. His family reported he was, the Scotsman passed away in the Bahamas. And he was James Bond. He will always be James Bond. He was the best James Bond. And he had a movie arc whereby at different points in time, you could start with James Bond, and you could end with Henry Jones Sr. from The Last Crusade, Indiana Jones and the Last Jr., and he would be that guy yelling at Harrison Ford, and it was that a classic, just a classic pairing, and such a well-written movie, so well-suited to the characters and certainly the actors involved. And he was also Jimmy Malone in The Untouchables and gave us this.
You said you wanted to know how to get Capone. Do you really want to get him? You see what I'm saying? What are you prepared to do?
Everything within the law.
And then what are you prepared to do? If you open the ball on these people, Mr. Nash, you must be prepared to go all the way. Because they won't give up the fight until one of you is dead.
I want to get Capone. I don't know how to get him.
Want to get Capone? Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way. And that's how you get Capone.
That's the Chicago goosebumps. Way. Yeah, that's it. That's talking to Kevin Costner as Elliot Ness and The Untouchables. That's the Chicago way. So the
you know what my favorite?
Go. Yeah.
My favorite Sean Connery moment is Daryl Hammond as him on
yes,
Celebrity
I...
Jeopardy. The yeah. day is mine, Trebek. You'll rule the day.
Right. Yeah. That's it. Your mother, Trebek, and the penis mightier. No, that's the pen is mightier. Yeah.
All you have to do is write the number 4 down, and you will win the game.
I slept with your mother, so Trebek.
Your favorite, this has to be divided up into different ways. And your favorite Sean your favorite Bond movie with Sean Connery. Do you have one?
Yeah, I'm not a huge Bond fan, so I would have to receive. Did he do Octopussy?
Did not.
Oh, okay.
Did not.
I'm going to have to let you take the lead on this one.
All right. Mine was Goldfinger for an awful lot of reasons because Jill Masterson, the character Shirley Eaton, was the one who would become the she's a Bond girl, and she would be the gold woman. The song was certainly, you know, Shirley Bassey's rendition of Goldfinger, and that image of the woman encased in gold as a nine-year-old boy, you can imagine. Plus, the name of one of the characters played by Honor Blackman, a name that I don't feel safe saying on the radio right now.
Okay.
The last name was Galore. I'm certainly not going to say her first name.
Thank you.
So that was an attractive part. And then Gert Frobe as Goldfinger himself. And some of the, do you expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. And that was one of the lines of dialogue.
That's awesome.
Also, it featured in a largely soundless role, Harold Sakata as Oddjob, one of the all-time great, you know, great villains. The guy who played Oddjob was a silver medalist weightlifter. And he had this very unique way of of moving. And the true story is that he was apparently badly burned when filming his death scene, the real death scene in which Oddjob is electrocuted by Bond. However, he was so into the role and such a disciplined athlete, he kept holding on to Oddjob's hat, that killer hat, with such determination until the director said, cut. He's one of the all-time great characters, Oddjob. So I'm there with Goldfinger.
There is a texter weighing in. Here's a pretty good one from the 708. The Rock. Mm-hmm. That's a good Sean. Welcome to The Rock.
Yeah. So do you have a favorite Connery movie? Favorite Sean, if we don't have to limit it to Bond, because there's an arc here I want to get to.
I'd probably go with either The Rock or his role in as father of Indiana. Oh, Indiana, come here. What do you need, father? I don't have time right now. We don't get along. I really did enjoy that. You're right, because that was like the perfect matchup. Like whoever did casting for that was like they were. That was smart. I mean, perfect. Like the compliment that he was to Harrison Ford was great. So yeah, I would probably. I'm probably missing some movies, but I would go with those two. What about you?
Yeah, I loved him in so many things. And including that, Junior, you were dumb enough to bring my book with you. Where, Junior? That was a great scene. So the one movie that always seems to get overlooked, and it was not a big movie at all, but it's so spectacular in my world, is The Man Who Would Be King. He co-stars with Michael Caine, and it's a Rudyard Kipling story. And it's such a phenomenal story, the kind that Kipling would write, and the way it's told. I don't want to ruin it for anybody. It was just a terrific thing. The Rudyard Kipling played and voiced by Christopher Plummer. It was directed by John Huston. But Sean Connery and Michael Caine, as two British Army officers going rogue in British India, and the way they end up in this country, seemingly the men who would be king or gods, and it's just a great movie. It was a small little movie, came out in the mid-70s, and I just adore, because there was a rule, that's I think when the rule became official, that Michael Caine has to be in every movie ever made. and that I think was the first one. He was just great.
Here's another one. Now I've got the filmography open, but The Hunt for Red October.
The Scottish guy playing a Russian sub captain.
Oops. I thought about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah.
A caller wanted us to mention Entrapment.
Don't remember. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
Dragonheart.
I mean, you could keep going. He made movies better. He was in good movies. He made them better. You enjoy watching somebody. He was in, and that's how, I mean, that's a movie star where you go to watch this guy be this guy. The fact that he was the Russian sub captain with a Scottish accent, but he didn't care because he's a movie star. You went to see Sean Connery.
Do you think the directors just gave up? They're like, all right, this is this Russian accent. It's not working out. Just let him do the Scottish thing, whatever. We'll explain it on the press junket. It's not working.
Okay, that'll be that. So anyways, I did not want us to miss the Sean Connery. It's just, that's a damn, damn shame. The
90, though. Wow.
Yep. There was something going around Twitter, and it was, the question was, and I saw it flash by NHL Nosebleed, he tweeted it out, name a NHL player you were convinced would turn out to be a superstar but never panned out. So former NHL goalie Andrew Raycroft tweeted out, Andrew Raycroft. He tweeted out his own name.
Hey, man, who's watching out for him if he's not watching out for him?
There you go. That is deluxe, as Mark Gonzalez would say. That is just deluxe.
Absolutely.
This is quite the Philadelphia story. You know, there's metal and wooden, like you see them on streets are detoured or being dug up or you're being blocked off, and they're not the orange. They're usually with orange barrels, but they're hanging signs, detour, the signs where it is. So this apparently was in Philly, and on the back of it, it said, I bleep you for bleeping us out of a bike lane. That's what it said on two of the panels. Next to it was written, hi, we are making you a new bike lane. And next to that was, bleep, I was drunk, sorry, and thank you.
Don't mess with bikers, man. Bikers are mean people.
Right. But that's a Philadelphia story in three acts, they would tell you. That was just...
Perfect.
So good. We have to... I want to extend this before we get to the candy part of what are you doing, Wagner. So before we go to break, Clayton Kershaw of the world champion Dodgers and Cody Bellinger of the world champion Dodgers made a TV appearance. They were on with Jimmy Kimmel. They were all zoomed in. And I love Jimmy Kimmel, and I love him asking this question of the two baseball players.
Was it easier to win a World Series where the other team wasn't cheating?
Well, I guess so. We won. It must have been easier.
I'd say so.
Kershaw and Bellinger.
Excellent.
Lose it. Isn't that great? Was it easier to win when the other team's not cheating?
By the way, Stevie Sunshine, I've been meaning to ask you about that because I know you're not a fanboy, but you grew up a Dodgers fan, right?
I did not. I hated the Dodgers.
Oh, you didn't?
I was a Willie Mays fan. Grew up loving Willie Mays. It was because I was the best player I'd ever seen as a kid at 8, 9, 10. It's like, oh, my God, this is unbelievable. So Willie Mays would hit 52 home runs, and the Dodgers would score 7 runs a week, and Koufax and Drysdale and Osteen would make it stand up, and they go to the World Series. I never got to see Willie Mays in a World Series when he was Willie Mays. And, you know, the 73 version was like, I don't want to see that. I don't want to think about that. So Mays would hit all those home runs, and the Doyers would go to the World Series, or the Cardinals would. I just never got – so I hated the Doyers. But I love Dodger Stadium. I love Doyer dogs, and it was a great place to go. And we would go and pay $1 and sit at the top of general admission, the top deck, and we sat on the top row of the top deck because it was closer to the concession stand. So I could get my Dodger dogs. I was a beach ball with arms, and those
see Doyer
dogs.
That explains.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. I was not a huge fan of the Dodger dogs, but I don't want to denigrate them. But I had them because they would always give them to us when I was there on the Cubs tour. But so now that explains a lot. Like, I guess I didn't realize you hated the Dodgers, and that makes sense now that the diva was not influenced by you and that she's a great Cubs fan. So, okay.
Well, she grew up here, and there were a lot of Chicago ties. No, the pangs to Chicago were that way.
Yeah.
So she moved here. She was 18 months.
No, I understand that, but oftentimes it doesn't matter. Like, it is the parents' influence, right, that you root for a team. And I get it. The diva was raised around here, but it also helps that Stevie Sunshine didn't have an allegiance. So you didn't have an allegiance, you just had a Willie Mays allegiance, huh?
I had a Willie Mays allegiance, and I just didn't. It was based on what I saw. And here, I didn't, we weren't Cub fans, and I didn't tell her to be a Cub fan or do anything. It was I rooted for the story. They knew me as the dad writing columnists and writing stuff in the newspaper, rooting for the story.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, look, you were with the Cubs. You saw how long it would be, what a great story it would be if they won. So that was the recurring story.
That's all I cared about. All I cared about.
Right, and that was the great story. So she did, the diva did that on her own. Plus, her working in L.A. and in the entertainment industries, there's a lot of Chicagoans out there, a lot of Cub fans out there, and so she's... she has the currency to speak to and with them about that, to the point where I get texts like, what is Lester doing? I don't know. I don't know. Go ask him yourself. So we'll take a break. We have one more piece of What Are You Doing, Wagner, to get to. It will involve the voice echoing the beach ball with arms that you heard, Rick Camp from the I'm Fat podcast, because it's Halloween and we need to discuss candy, and there are power rankings out, so we will, and that will harken to a podcast that Mark Grody did.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah, let me put a list together, man.
Yeah.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And now somebody did put a list together. You put a list together. We'll compare lists.
Great.
All right. Okay. Yeah. On Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Do you have an opinion?
Oh, I've never liked candy. I think it's just awful. I think candy corn's awful. It, you know, it's like fruitcake. You know, there's a reason they only serve fruitcake once a year because it's awful. There's a reason they only serve mint juleps once a year because they're awful. And there's a reason they only serve candy corn once a year because it's awful. Now, that does beg the question why they serve it at all. But anyway, that's my opinion.
And when was your last encounter with candy corn?
Sometime when I was a kid, and you eat it by the handfuls because that's all that's left and you get sick.
Mike Leach talking about candy corn. He's not wrong. He's not wrong, ladies and gentlemen.
Dead wrong.
He's dead wrong?
Oh, I love candy. There's a bully mentality when it comes to candy corn, man. Everybody's bullying candy corn. I don't get it. Poor candy corn needs a little protection, a little defense. I don't understand. I love candy. I truly do. I love candy corn.
It's orange, white, and yellow paraffin. Why would you eat paraffin?
I don't know. Is it the texture that people don't like? Is that because it does have a unique texture? I will say that. I mean, it is different, I suppose.
Well, we are blessed to be produced by half of the I'm Fat podcast. Rick Camp, your candy corn thoughts.
Real quick, before we get to you, Rick, let me just give a little bit of Cubs breaking news per the Deluxe Mark Gonzalez. He writes, no surprise, Cubs pick up the option on Anthony Rizzo. They give Descalso a buyout. There it is.
Yeah, what was your favorite moment of the Daniel Descalso era?
Well, remember when he actually started with the Cubs, he was, that's the answer.
Daniel Descalso, the candy corn of Cubs utility.
Now, I'll give the unfunny answer. The unfunny answer is that when he first started with the Cubs, he was really good for like 3 weeks, and then it just fell off the cliff.
Okay, so, Rick, candy corn?
Trash.
All right, here we go. Period.
Another bully. Right. Another bully.
So, Mark, you and your on the podcast, let me put a list together, did this recently. So you made a list of, you argued about your top 10, was it candy bars or just or Halloween candies? I forgot.
No, in this case, it was candy bars in this case. So and then we did top 9 just because, you know, we're unique and different. Our lists are different.
Our lists go to 9.
So we did that, and let me put a list together. I'll tell you like my top 3, and then you could listen for the rest, but you don't need the whole list right now anyway. My top 3 always have been and probably always will be, really in any order, I suppose, Twix, Kit Kat, and Nestle Crunch. And those are probably my favorite candies, too. So, like Halloween candies, for that matter. So.
Oh, my God. My same three, different order.
Really?
Kit Kats are number... Yeah. I ate Crunch as a kid. The one that would be... And I guess it counts as a candy bar. The one that would be tied for 3 would be Mounds because of the dark chocolate and the coconut. But
Jean Grody, that's her number one. You guys are,
I would have to fight her. Would I have to fight
for the mounds?
Mounds,
absolutely. That is her. That's her fave, man.
Enjoy those.
Now back to Rick Camp. Now for the real answers. Here's Rick Camp.
All right, top 3 candy bars, Rick, and then we'll get to the Halloween candy rankings.
I'm with you guys on 2 of your 3. I'm with you on Kit Kat. I actually prefer the Big Cat one, where it's like, instead of it being a few different pieces next to each other when it's piled on top of itself, like the king size ones are just like one big row now.
Oh yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
The texture goes to 10 when you do that.
Oh my God, I forgot about those.
So that's my 3. 2 is Twix, and you guys didn't even have my number 1. 100 Grand is the best candy bar known to man. You get caramel. You get the crunch like a Nestle Crunch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got everything you could want in there, and it leaves out the worst element of candy ever, which is peanut
candy
butter.
Corn. Peanut butter. Okay. Well, that brings
I'm with you on
this.
The peanut butter, man. I am with you. It dominates.
Peanut butter sucks.
It takes over. It takes over. Like, there is no, like, you put peanut butter in anything, and that's the show. The whole show gets stolen by the peanut butter, and that's not good. It's not good.
There's no nuance with peanut butter.
No
nuance.
Yeah, it's terrible on sandwiches. It's terrible by itself. It's terrible in candy.
I disagree with the peanut butter and jelly factor. I do like peanut butter and jelly a lot. But in my chocolate, in my ice cream, in my candy bars, eh-eh.
The website 538 presented its ultimate Halloween candy power rankings. So there's no sense going from the bottom, although number 19 on this list is Skittles, the original Skittles.
Okay.
And actually, the very bottom is number 86, Good and Plenty.
Yeah, it's awful.
As long as we're not talking about the yellow and orange Skittles, we're good.
Yeah.
Or green. Right.
I might
pretty
as well
much just the red and purple. Yeah.
18 is Milky Way Simply Caramel. 17 is Rolo. 16 is Crunch, our beloved Crunch.
Yeah,
15 is M&M's. I love M&M's. I just OD on M&M's. That's
so good.
15 is too low. And Rick's going to fight about this. Number 14 is 100 grand bar.
Great value.
13, that's right. Yeah, we traded down to get 100 grand bar. 13 is Starburst. Number 12 is Three Musketeers. Three Musketeers shouldn't be ahead of anything. There's no there. 11 is Peanut M&Ms. So that, now we get to the top 10 of the 538 Ultimate Halloween candy rankings. And I think the reason the Halloween part's important here is, you know, you have all the minis and different sizes and different things that people, so it's not just a candy bar, it's all manner of candy. Number 10, Butterfinger. Is Butterfinger a top 10 thing for you guys?
No.
It used to be my, as
nope,
a kid, I
not for me either.
Kids.
I just, it's too, like, stick to your molars.
Okay.
Yeah.
9. Peanut butter M&Ms.
Nope.
8, Reese's stuffed with pieces.
Nope.
Reese's stuffed
too much
with
peanut butter slant in
yeah,
this.
Yeah, Rick
list.
And I are on the same page when it comes
just,
to peanut butter. So,
just you
yeah.
wait.
Number we are trading is, down in this on this list consistently, and we are getting all the picks for next year.
No, you're getting all the candy. Number 7 is Milky Way on 538's Ultimate.
Too much nougat. Too much nougat.
Following, okay. Number 6 is Reese's Pieces. There it is. That okay. Number 5 is Snickers. I don't know if that's a top 5 candy bar, a candy or Ultimate. I don't. It's just, no, I'm sorry. Okay, 4 is Kit Kat. Obviously,
bingo.
That's way too... number 3 is Twix. Number 2 on the 538 Ultimate Halloween Candy Rankings is Reese's Miniatures. And number 1 is Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
People love Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, man. When we did our list, that was the feedback. Everybody loves the Reese's. I don't not like it. Like, I will have them, but it's not my... Would not come in my first 5 choices.
See, I love that other people like it because it leaves the actual good stuff for me.
Yep, it does.
Right.
There are 6 of the top 10 that involve, including Butterfinger as some kind of peanut butter tangent, that it is some
kind
of
you this.
Connected tissue. There's 6 of these top 10 are peanut butter.
Honest question. Is there a difference between the Nestle Crunch Bar and the Crunch Bars?
No, I think that's what it is. I think that is Nestle's Crunch.
Because there's like those. Oh, no, the small
missing?
Ones.
It's the same thing.
They are, okay.
Can I give my best value on this list?
Yeah.
I assume it's a $100,000 bar at 14.
I mean, that is a good one, but I'm thinking one that I would be happy to get that's lowest on this list is number 75, Caramel Apple Pops. Those are, I only crave them around this time of year, but... Oh. I will get one bag of those a year, and they will last a while, but they're just really damn good, and you just got to be careful of getting caramel stuck in your teeth.
Rick,
I'm sorry.
Really, I wonder about your credibility. If it's one bag that'll last a while. I really question your credibility.
I didn't say it was the only candy I had. I just said it's the only bag of those I have.
All right.
Because tomorrow is a fat holiday.
Really?
Yeah, the day after Halloween. You get clearance candy. The day after Valentine's Day, the day after Halloween, those are two holidays on the fat calendar because all the leftover candy goes on clearance.
It's okay. Oh, that's awesome. By the way, I need to it's the crackle bar that I meant to ask. Is that the same as the Nestle Crunch? That's the one. Thank you to the text. There's a bunch of textures throwing that out there, at least a couple.
The rice is just slightly longer on the crackle.
Really?
I think they're two different makers. I think they crackle copied Crunch.
Mm-hmm.
They are two different makers. That's why I asked, are they the same, you know?
But basically,
Crunch is the classic. Go with that.
Yeah.
That's the way we're working it. And so Rick, you realize that the pandemic has made the fat holiday started a week ago when places like Walgreens and CVS realized they weren't going to sell anything because nobody was going to go trick-or-treating. It was already 2-for-1.
Oh, wow.
I picked up two bags of Kit Kat at a CVS 2 days ago because it was already 2-for-1.
Yeah, I always like at least once before Halloween going around one store and seeing what all the variety packs are because there's never one that has all things that you like in it. There's always one thing in that bag that you're like, oh, I'll leave that for other people. Or like I know this person likes this, so I'll act like I'm a good person and was truly thinking of them, when really it's just stuff I wouldn't eat myself.
And so it's a one candy, you might still buy that bag and throw out the one candy you don't like, right?
It depends on what else is in there. If it's like some of my top-notch stuff, and let's say there's four different varieties of things in there, and at least two of them are top-notch for me, one of them is like, yeah, I'll eat it, and the other one is just garbage, I'll still get it.
My trouble with those bags has always been, let's say I would buy two or three of them and just empty them into a big bowl, and I could let kids choose, or because I do have a favorite, and it's Kit Kat, and that was part of these mix, I would make sure I handed it to them, and it wasn't Kit Kat. I wouldn't give them their choice. And I think that's very mean.
Nice.
you're like the old man Potter of your block. It's old man Rosenblum.
But
don't
I
go
would
to that
do that. But that's the thinking I would go through. It's like, all right, we'll buy this variety. And they go, wait, I'm not going to give them their choice. What if they take the one I like?
And little kids walking away crying from Rosenblum.
I was not your friend on Halloween.
You once called me a warped, frustrated old man.
Have you guys heard what Spiegel did when back in the day we had the Spiegel and Parkin show party, the ill-fated Spiegel and Parkin show party?
Yeah, right. Let's break this up.
He
put, I think it was 9 different varieties of M&Ms in the same bowl.
Ooh.
And it was supposed to be like, let's see which variety you pull out. But for someone like me, where there's a lot of whammies in there, I was not a fan of this.
So your chubby hands are sifting through there.
Seriously. For one thing, awful for COVID protocols now. If you were trying to sift through. But also, I'm convinced the terror and the lack of control that brought out ended the show. That's my theory.
Really?
Wow, that's connecting some dots.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a texter suggesting October 30th, Devil's Night, October 31st, Halloween, November 1st, Dawn of the Fats. You down with that, Rick?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, the thing is, half the people we'd want to cast for that movie are already dead, so.
Yeah. All right.
Today actually is Halloween. Today is the 31st. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So textures here are weighing in. Pardon the phrase. I didn't mean to say that. Textures here are letting us know. that, yes, we know Nestle's makes Crunch. Okay, Hershey's makes Crackle, and so the chocolate's different, too.
Gotcha.
And so there's a question that I can't really answer. I'm not a English toffee kind of guy, but Score or Heath, Rick, Mark, either of you guys?
Heath.
Not the biggest toffee guy either, so I'll abstain.
So why, Mark?
Because it's the only one that like sounds familiar to me. I don't really know Score. That is exactly what Heath wants from me. They win. But I'm with Rick. Like, I'm a little... I think toffee, if done right in general in life, is really good. I actually had the best toffee I had was last year when I went to London for the Bears. Went to a restaurant. They had a toffee dessert that I had with Gene and Gary, as a matter of fact. So, I don't know. Toffee is like a... There's like so many other things ahead of toffee before I get toffee. So I can't... I abstain too.
Toffee is like a bratwurst where when it's done really well, it's really good. But boy, the Jerry Angelo's floor on it is really low.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, you have to just kind of be handed it. Like, it's just like with a lot of candy. Like, there are, like I said, I like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, but I would probably not buy them in the grocery store checkout. I'd have the three or four things I would get, but if somebody says, here, yeah, you want to, take it, I'll eat it. Same thing with, like, a Heath bar. If offered it,
Bullseyes are that way, too. I never seek out Bullseyes, but if I'm handed one, I'm like, oh, I haven't had one of these in forever. Yes.
Right. It's like Bruce Springsteen. I'm not a big fan of Bruce, but if somebody said, hey, I've got free tickets to see Bruce Springsteen, I'd go see Bruce Springsteen.
You're not a true media member then.
I know. I take pride in that. That's why I slid that in there.
A texter from the 630 says, Crunch bars remind me of Die Hard. Classic. And more what the plain, the regular, the original, whatever you want to call it, the Hershey's chocolate bar is outstanding. I am such a big fan of that. The purity, the clarity of the Hershey's chocolate bar. Because I think that's outstanding.
I look at that more as an ingredient these days, like a s'mores ingredient or melted chocolate you need in some recipe that you have. You know what I mean? Like, I don't just buy, I don't know how many people just buy like a plain Hershey's bar these days. I mean, they get the one with the almonds or it's used as, like I said, in a Rick, where do you fall on the Hershey bar?
It's really good, but I'm kind of like you. I don't ever get just, I understand liking the purity of it.
Sure. It's chocolate.
Yeah, but I find myself not getting it. What that text made me think of, though, is if the Crunch Bar is Die Hard, does that make Crackle Die Hard 2? And then they kind of got back more towards it when everything was with a vengeance and everything. I feel like that's better.
I think they went to the Marathon Bar towards the end, actually.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Remember that?
Wow, yeah, that was...
Marathon Bar? Is there a discernible difference between the Milky Way and the Three Musketeers?
Well, there's caramel.
Oh, does one have caramel and the other one
Milky
not?
Milky Way has nougat? Caramel. Yeah, Milky Way is essentially a Three Musketeers with caramel.
Okay. Thank you. Asked and answered.
I could not remember the last time I had either one of those. Thank you, Rick.
Right? That like, they're really out of style. They have really fallen off the map.
My mom
two, right?
really likes Three Musketeers when you put them in the freezer. So when I go over there, she'll be like, she'll grab one for herself, and because she's self-conscious, she'll grab one for me too, knowing that I'm the backstop, that I'm always there for it. So, wow.
Did your mom ever worry about you, Rick, for doing a podcast called the I'm Fat Podcast?
I think she kind of gave up on me getting in better shape a while ago.
Okay. Because my mom would be like, you really want to do that? You really want to promote that? You're doing the I'm Fat Podcast? I mean,
oh, my mom knows that nobody makes more fun of myself than me. So she knows the self-deprecating part is right up my alley.
Okay.
Well then, did Gene really voice concern for having heard about the I'm Fact podcast and that we were...
No, I'm saying what she would say if I did a podcast similar. Do you really, I don't know if that's good, to promote that. You might not be healthy and, you might want to get checked out. I don't know. I talked to your father and we have concerns about this podcast. So,
excellent.
Just wondered about that. It's like back in the day when I was working in Springfield. And never mind. Never mind.
Okay.
Never mind.
All right. Well, we need to take a break. When we come back, we have a really good bite of sound that is that touches my heart as a father. And I have not heard this, but I know the play involved. It's all over Twitter. We're going to bring it to you before we get out of here on this Halloween day, now that we've had our substantial Halloween evaluation on candy. So Saturday Suckage, we bring you the hard-hitting stuff. And by the way, one road trip early in my hockey career in Philadelphia, I stayed at the Hershey Hotel. And when you checked in, they would give you Hershey bars. Mm. They would give you the Hershey candy bars, and you could buy a one-pound Hershey Kiss in the gift shop. And I did. And Ricky would be proud of me. It didn't make it to the next city.
Good.
Good work, this kid.
This is Saturday Suckage. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. All right, before we get out of here, I love this. I think it's way cool. Saturday Suckage. This doesn't suck. It's ABC. It was on ABC. Boston College is playing Clemson. On the call is announcer Joe Tessitore. On the field for Boston College is his son, John Tessitore.
Mm.
Aaron Bumeri on for the 40-yard field goal attempt. As they split out, Danny Dalton's a fake. Tessitore is under center on 4th and 2, and he got him to come off sides. John Tessitore came up and played quarterback at the last second, and they may get a first down out of this. How about that on 4th and 2? He has played every position growing up, from prep quarterback, receiver. He's pulled off multiple fakes.
Defense with contact. 5-yard penalty. Results in the first down.
And he did it here. He split out the tight end, went under center, played quarterback, and drew Clemson offsides.
Wow. What a great call by Jeff Hafley. And I know you had to really grind on the week of prep to find out all the detailed history
about
John Tessitore, your son.
Trying.
I know you're so proud of him. And what a huge play there from BC's field goal unit.
That's great. I love that. That's a dad calling his son's thing, and his color guy giving him, yeah, you had to grind on getting all that background, didn't you?
Tessitore!
Yeah. Anyways, that's how we're going to send you all out.
Sweet.
Hope you have a happy, safe Thanksgiving. Oh, my God. Do we suck?
You're not that far off. Not that far off.
Let's call it Halloween. I want to thank Rick Camp, the I'm Fat Podcast. Trash Panda was here before that. Mark Gonzalez, our deluxe Chicago Tribune ball writer. Josh Nelson from Sox Machine was here. We want to thank everyone who listened. Nobody called, so we want to thank you for your continued consistency.
It's
Wake
true.
And Bake Club members, Saturday Suckage at its best. Chicago Sports Radio, 670, The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.